We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Verses 16 through 18. Bhagavan api vishvatma Bhaktanam abhayankara Avivesham sabhagena Mana anakadantape. Bhagavan api vishvatma Bhaktana abhyankara Avivesham sabhagena Mana anakadantape. Devotees, enter the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence. And I'll also read verse 17. Savi Pratparsham Tama Rajamana Yatavavi Dirasadoti Durtarsha Bhutanam Sampabhuvaha. Translation. While carrying the form of the Supreme Personality of God within the core of his heart, Vasudeva bore the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence. Thus, he became as bright as the sun. He was therefore very difficult to see or approach through sensory perception. Indeed, he was unapproachable and unperceivable, even for such formidable men as Kamsa, and not only for Kamsa, but for all living entities. Report. The word Dhamma is significant. Dhamma refers to the place where the Supreme Lord resides. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 111, it is said, Tamna svena sadanirasta guhakam satyam param timahi. In the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no influence of material energy. Dhamna Asvena Sadani Rasta Bhagam. Any place where the Supreme Lord is present by his name, form, qualities, or paraphernalia immediately becomes a Dham. For example, we speak of Vrindavan Dham, Dwarka Dham, and Mathura Dham, because in these places the name, fame, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Godhead are always present. Similarly, if one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do something, the core of his heart becomes a Dham. And thus, he becomes so extraordinarily powerful that not only his enemies, but also people in general, are astonished to observe his activities. Because he's unapproachable, his enemies are simply struck with wonder, as explained here by the words, Durasado Tidur Tarsha. Mukam makaroti vachalam rangam lagyate girim yakipam tamaham vande sri guru mitinataminam. Om Agana Timirandasya Gananjana Sharakaya Chikshir Miritam Yena Tasame Shri Gurave Namah. So here we have heard how when Krishna appears, it becomes a Dham. So Krishna first appeared in the heart of Vasudeva, and then he appeared in the heart of Devaki. So I'll read the next verse also, verse 18. Tato jagam mangalam achyutam sham samahitam sarasatena devi tadara sarvatmakam atmabhutam kashta yathanandakaram anastha. Thereafter, accompanied by plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudeva, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of her heart, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. Purport. The form of the Lord situated in the pure and alloyed heart of Vasudeva is not different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, and specifically within the heart, is called Dham. Dham refers not only to Krishna's form, but to his name, his form, his quality, and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. Thus, the eternal form of Supreme Personality of Godhead with full potencies was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki, exactly as the setting sun's rays are transferred to the full moon rising in the east. Supreme Lord's entrance into the womb of Devaki from the heart of Vasudeva was a heart-to-heart relationship. So today I would like to especially discuss how Srila Prabhupada was carrying the Dham, how Krishna appeared in Srila Prabhupada's heart, and how because Krishna appeared in Srila Prabhupada's heart, he revealed the Dham all over the world. Even here in New Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada brought the Dham. He called it New Vrindavan. So, Srila Prabhupada's heart was a Dham, and so what I would like to do today is tell you the different pastimes of Srila Prabhupada and how he celebrated Janmashtami from the beginning on the boat till the end in London in 1977. So we can see how Srila Prabhupada, how he celebrated Janmashtami and what words he spoke in some of the places. And many of the Janmashtamis were installations of the deities. So he did make Krishna appear in many, many places over the years. So first Janmashtami was on the boat on the way to America. And he said, today the ship is plying very smoothly. I feel better today, but I'm feeling separation from Sri Vrindavan and my Lord Sri Govinda Gopinath Radhadamodar. My only solace is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which I'm tasting the nectarine of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. I've left Bhartabhumi just to execute the order of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya's order. I have no qualification, but I've taken up the risk just to carry out the order of His Divine Grace. I depend fully on their mercy so far away from Vrindavan. The Jaladut, under the command of Captain Arun Pandya, whose wife is also aboard, left at 9 o'clock a.m. on Friday, August 13th. In his diary, Srila Prabhupada noted, "The cabin is quite comfortable, thanks to Lord Shri Krishna for enlightening Sumati Maharaji for all these arrangements. I'm quite comfortable." But on the 14th, he reported seasickness, dizziness, vomiting, Bay of Bengal, heavy rains, more sickness. On the 19th, when the ship arrived at Colombo, Ceylon, Srila Prabhupada was able to get relief from his seasickness. The captain took him ashore and he traveled around Colombo by car. Then the ship went on to Cochin on the west coast of India. Janamashtami, the appearance day of Lord Krishna, fell on the 20th of August that year. Prabhupada took the opportunity to speak to the crew about the philosophy of Lord Krishna, and he distributed prasadam he had cooked himself. August 21st was his 70th birthday, observed without ceremony at sea. So Prabhupada, although he was sick, although he was ill, he cooked and he gave the lecture. We'll see many of the Janamashtis that Prabhupada celebrated, he was also sick. 1 year later in New York City, Janamashtami Day, he had a small crew of Hare Krishna chanters. For observing Janamashtami, there were special rules. There should be no eating. And the day was to be spent chanting, reading, and discussing Krishna consciousness. If anyone became too weak, he said, there was fruit in the kitchen. But better they fast until the feast at midnight, just like devotees in India. Now here's a devotee speaking. His request seemed like a very difficult proposal. Some of us expressed doubt we could do it, so Swamiji said, if you get hungry or weak in the afternoon, you can take some fruit from our refrigerator. When he said that, it gave us some hope, because it seemed almost impossible a living being could go all day without eating. He wanted us to try for it. Yet, it was not such a hard and fast rule that we had to do it or die. Fasting was one problem, and another problem was what to do all day, how to control the mind. When Prabhupada stayed with us in the storefront reading Bhagavad Gita, it was very enjoyable. But whenever he left us alone, our consciousness and conversation dropped way down. We began to complain, I don't think I can do this. How does he expect us to stay like this all day? This is like being in prison. You can't even leave the temple. Even while Prabhupada was present, one of the disciples, who was later to be initiated as Janaki Dasi, said, Swamiji, I am sorry, but I have to leave. I have to go home and feed my cats. Swamiji said, no, do not do it. Stay here and you can take care of them later. She thought about it and then said, I'm sorry. I have to go take care of them. The rest of us reluctantly surrendered and stayed there for a whole day, which very slowly turned into afternoon and night. We sat against the wall, drowsily and weakly, trying to chant at our new red beads. Now, initiation was supposed to be the next day. Most of the prospective initiates spent several hours that day stringing their shiny red wooden beads. I also had to string my beads and send them to India, where Prabhupada was. We didn't have any tulsi beads in those days, but I still like my beads because Prabhupada chanted on them, even if they weren't tulsi. The bead stringing, the chanting, reading, and dozing went on until 11 at night when everyone was invited up to Swamiji's room. As his followers sat on the floor, contentedly eating prasadam from paper plates, Swamiji sat among them, telling stories about the birth of Lord Krishna. No one was asked to shave his head or even cut his hair or change his dress. No one offered Prabhupada the traditional guru dakshina. Hardly anyone even relieved him of his chores, so Swamiji himself had to do most of the cooking and other preparations for the initiation. He was perfectly aware of the mentality of his boys, and he didn't try to force anything on anyone. Some of the initiates didn't even know until after initiation, when they had inquired, the four rules, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, were mandatory for all disciples. Prabhupada's reply then was, I am very glad you are finally asking me that. As the ceremony was finished and the air in the apartment was clearing, Swamiji began to laugh. There was so much smoke, I thought they might have to call the fire brigade. So, this is the Janamashtami 1966. 1967, he went to Vrindavan. He was ill. He had a stroke. And he went to recuperate. Then the next one was Montreal, 1968. And in this Janamashtami, three couples, Malati and Shamsundar, were there, Jimon and Gurudas, and that was Mukunda and Janaki. They were on their way to London, and they came to get blessings from Srila Prabhupada for their preaching. And here it talks about this Janamashtami Gopal, who I think is now Gopal Krishna Maharaj, had mailed invitations to many Indians and had made hundreds of phone calls. As a result, more than 300 guests attended. Prabhupada spoke in the evening before a distracted, talkative audience of Indian families with children. Afterwards, he had Gorsundar, Mukunda, and Jamuna speak in turn. Pleased by the large gathering of guests and devotees in the bowling alley turned temple, Prabhupada considered Janmashtami festival the high point of his stay in Montreal. After the midnight feasting, as Prabhupada was leaving the temple, he stopped at the door, turned to Hansaduda, who had done most of the cooking. "The sweet balls were very good," Prabhupada said. "Thank you, Prabhupada. But mine," Prabhupada smiled, "were better." Next day, Prabhupada's appearance day, the devotees gathered again, fasting till noon and feasting. In the morning, they offered little speeches in praise of their spiritual master. After most of the disciples had spoken, Prabhupada turned to a new boy and indicated that he should speak. The boy stood and said that although he didn't know much about Krishna consciousness, he was serving Prabhupada each day by rolling chapatis in the kitchen. He said he loved hearing Prabhupada's lectures and rolling chapatis, and he was satisfied and happy and simply wanted to go on eternally rolling chapatis and hearing his spiritual master's tapes. This simple talk caused Prabhupada to smile. He thanked the boy for his realization. Then Prabhupada spoke, describing the spiritual master as a transcendental broker. The broker acts only on behalf of his firm, and the customer must deal with the firm through the broker. Approaching Krishna through the spiritual master was like that. So 1969, September 3rd, was in Germany. Prabhupada observed Janamashtami quietly, not like the previous year in Montreal when hundreds of Indians had gathered, along with disciples from many temples. Here there were only about half a dozen devotees on hand, so about five or six devotees. They fasted and then came to Prabhupada's apartment in the evening. Prabhupada talked about Krishna, and they chanted together, and at 11:30 p.m., Prabhupada decided to have his head shaved, something he usually did once a month. Krishnadas carefully shaved his spiritual master's head while the others sat and watched. Although it was not the customary activity of Janmashtami night, the devotees loved associating with Prabhupada in this intimate way. Then at midnight, Prabhupada went with them to the temple where they broke their fast. So next year, 1970, was in Tokyo, Japan. Prabhupada stayed in his Tokyo apartment, and we celebrated Janmashtami Day, and Prabhupada sat with us in the room, and we read Krishna book together. And when it came Srila Prabhupada's turn, he read the Krishna book with great gusto. We were wondering why Srila Prabhupada would have so much feeling about his own book, and he said, "This is Krishna's book, this is not my book." And he read the Krishna book with us from dawn until dusk in 1970. So that was the tradition. From the time I joined in 1970, we would read Krishna book from morning until midnight, actually. We would all take turns reading. And in Calcutta, I remember it was 1972. It was my turn to read, and Prabhupada's sister was sitting right in front of me, listening. And I was reading in English, and she only knew Bengali. And after I was saying, "And Krishna left the gopis," and she just started crying and crying and crying. And she told Prabhupada she speaks Bhagavatam very nicely. He told me in Vrindavan. Well, I didn't know what he was talking about. And then I remembered, oh yeah, I was reading Krishna book to Prabhupada's sister. 1971, Srila Prabhupada was in London. He said, "Today is Janamashtami Day. We should try to understand Krishna philosophically. We should not go away because there is talk of philosophy. If there is a story, they may be interested. But hearing story only, we're trying to forget Krishna, you see? Any religion, if it's not based on philosophy, one day it will be forgotten, it will be lost. So that is happening. So many Krishna temples, but no discussion of Krishna philosophy. They think Krishna is an idol, just Jai Jagadisha Hare, that's all, finished business. No. Janma Karma Chimedi Vyam Yo Janati Tatvataha. That is injunction of Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who understands me, my transcendental activities, appearance, disappearance, in truth, that requires philosophical understanding. So 1972, Srila Prabhupada was here in New Vrindavan, and he had these Bhagavat Dharma lectures on one of the hills. I wasn't here. I was in India, I think, in 1972. So after Arati, Prabhupada requests different devotees, like Rupa Nuga Maharaj, Satsuk Maharaj, to read from Krishna book. Even though the local devotees have just finished building an extension to accommodate more devotees, the temple room is still so crowded, one can hardly see the deities. Some devotees can't even get into the temple and have to remain outside watching through the windows, so we have a much better arrangement. The Krishna book reading goes on for hours, lasting well into the night. Devotees first read the introduction, Krishna's advent, then the entire section describing how demigods offer prayers to Lord Krishna in the womb. Prabhupada insists they read this section, so they read on and on. Devotees are trying to be attentive, but everyone has been fasting all day, and after hours of sitting and listening, most people start falling asleep. The room is so jammed with devotees, it becomes intolerably hot, and soon the dandas begin bobbing up and down as sannyasis start nodding out. Only Prabhupada is not affected by drowsiness and continues relishing Krishna's pastimes. Around 2 a.m., he noticed many devotees were sleeping. He said, "You are getting tired," he said, smiling, and he ended the program. And everyone said, "Jai!" They were very happy because it was time for 2 o'clock in the morning. So that was here, 1972. 1973, Janamashti was in London, installation of Radha Gokulananda in Bhaktivedanta Manor. Vishakha describes, Prabhupada was offering the first arti, Shishi Radha Gokulananda, and I was photographing him. I stood behind the arti tray, simply focused the entire time on Srila Prabhupada. As I was doing that, I was struck by how gracefully he was offering the different items, the beautiful circles he made with the ghee lamp, and little circles within circles. Also, I was even more struck how focused he was on Shishi Radha Gokulananda. I was certainly focused on him, and all the other devotees pretty much were focused on Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was focused on the Lord and on pleasing him, pleasing them. This whole event was not about him, but it was about the pleasure of Shishi Radha Gokulananda and the pleasure of his spiritual master. Looking at him as I was, I could feel that. Then when he finished the arti, he started circumambulating the deities. Again, his movements were very graceful, very rhythmic, and it was for the pleasure of the Lord. We're so engrossed in what Prabhupada was doing that when he gave just a little movement of his hands, indicating we should also participate in dancing, then immediately everyone was dancing, and it was an ecstatic moment. You can see this on the video of following Srila Prabhupada. Bala Gopal describes it, when you see he comes to the point when he starts circumambulating and he invites the whole temple room into the deity room. There's a lot of space, it's a big room, there's a lot of space, and everyone was in the deity room. And every time, and she said, there were very few occasions I felt this amazing energy. Every time Prabhupada danced or he raised up his hands for people to dance, there was this energy. And the whole room felt it, and you just lifted off your feet by this ecstatic energy. That was Janamashtami, 1973. There is the Indian ambassador to England attended Janamashtami Day and introduced Srila Prabhupada, expressing his appreciation of Prabhupada's great work. Prabhupada spoke, describing the advent of Krishna as the key to peace for the troubled material world. And I just saw a video on the internet, very recent, where there's all these refugees in the Hungarian train station, and they're kind of cooped up. And it shows the people, they're shouting slogans, and the children are upset, and they're really crying. And then it shows the devotees come in there with a Harinam, and they say, "We are all migrants to this world. Nobody is permanent resident in this material world." And all of the people there are Muslims. And you see the video, the children are clapping and dancing, and they have the people with their children on their heads, and the children are smiling. So this is the key to peace. And I saw a video, I said, yes. And they said, yes, we are all migrants to this material world. Nobody here is a permanent resident. You cannot stay here permanently. No permanent visa here. So, yes. Prabhupada said, especially in India, we have so much asset for understanding God. Everything is there, ready made, but we won't accept. So what is the remedy for such disease? We're searching after peace, but we won't accept anything which is actually giving us peace. This is our disease. So the Krishna Conscious Movement is trying to awaken dormant Krishna consciousness in everyone's heart. Otherwise, how could these Europeans and Americans and other countrymen who had never even heard of Krishna 4 or 5 years ago be taking to Krishna consciousness so seriously? Therefore, Krishna consciousness is in everyone's heart. So I saw this video. All these sweet, beautiful little Muslim children were chanting Hare Krishna and dancing with the devotees. A beautiful, beautiful thing. Prabhupada recited prayers for Brahma Samhita describing the sublime eternal existence of Krishna and his eternal plan in Krishna Loka. But Krishna is also everywhere, he explained, and if you are a devotee, then you can catch him. If you want to catch him, he comes forward 10 times more than your desire. Therefore, we simply have to receive him. Very important to be open to receive Krishna when he comes. Then he talked about deity worship in the temple. Means worshipping Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's very kindly accepted to assume a form which you can handle. Therefore, do not think we have installed a marble statue. The rascals will say they are heathens. No, we are worshipping Krishna personally. Krishna has kindly assumed this form because we cannot see the gigantic Krishna or how Krishna is everywhere. Remain 24 hours a day in Krishna's service. That is the purpose of installing the deity. So recently when I was in Toronto, one outside person came to the feast. They asked me, why do we have to worship Krishna in the temple? Krishna is everywhere. I said, because when you come to the temple, you can express your love to Krishna. Krishna is everywhere, but how are you going to express your love to him? You're going to worship the sky? You're going to worship the earth? No, we come here and we see Krishna, his form, so beautiful. And we can express our love by bringing things to him, by dressing him, by feeding him. So the Dhamma is revealed by the pure devotee, by chanting Hare Krishna, by deity worship. 1974, Janamashtami was in Vrindavan. Prabhupada came and they were saying, we're going to open the temple, but there was no temple to open. And so he was actually very disappointed and he became very extremely ill. He told us all over the world, I was in Calcutta, he said, you must have 24-hour kirtan for Srila Prabhupada. And you know, we had only 10 devotees in the temple, but we had to do 24-hour kirtan, amongst other things. And we did 24-hour kirtan, and we had to pray to Lord Nrisimhadev, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. That was 1974, Janamashtami. And Prabhupada was so ill, but he insisted on greeting the governor and other dignitaries because they had sent out these invitations. So the governor came, everyone came, and Prabhupada was so ill, but he still got up out of his bed and spoke publicly, and he could hardly walk without assistance. And he spoke on Bhagavad Gita verse, and this is part of what he spoke. On this Advent day of Krishna, we shall seek protection at the lotus feet of Krishna. Then we shall be able to cross over this illusory energy, ocean of illusory energy. Samashitaye padapalavaplavam mahapadam puriyasha marade pavam parivats param 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 yavipadam natesham. So Krishna is adventing today. This is a stota by the demigods. We should read how Krishna protects the demigods or devotees. We should seek protection from Krishna. This world is so dangerous. It is said, param param yad viparam. Every step there is danger. But if we take shelter of the lotus feet of Murari, under whose lotus feet the whole matatva, cosmic manifestation, is resting, this big ocean of birth and death, we can cross very easily. Vatsapadam means the impression of a hoof of a calf and the water contained in it. The whole ocean becomes like a small spot created by the impression of the hoof. So Krishna conscious, this movement is for this purpose. We are requesting and training the bewildered living entities who have forgotten Krishna to revive Krishna consciousness so he may be saved from the onslaught of material nature. This is Krishna conscious movement. It is the greatest humanitarian welfare activity for human society. Take it very seriously and be happy. That was Prabhupada in Vrindavan. 75, he was in Vrindavan. I don't have anything. 76, he was in Hyderabad and they were opening the temple. And 80,000 people came, although there was a railway strike and a road strike. 80,000 people came. You know, when you have strikes in India, you don't go on the road. Because along with the strike, they usually have riots and things. But the 80,000 people came for this opening of the Hyderabad temple in 1976, where Prabhupada, he met the governor, he met the MP, and he advised the trustees of Tirupati that they should give us a place in Tirupati. And they listened to Prabhupada, and they did give us a place to have a temple in Tirupati. So Srila Prabhupada's last Janmashtami was in London, 1977. He was very sick in Vrindavan. He was actually on his deathbed, but he got out of his deathbed and he went to preach. He said, one more time, I would like to preach. So his plan was to go to London and then to USA. So Janmashtami Day, here's London. Srila Prabhupada wrote in a rented Rolls Royce to the temple at Bury Place in downtown London to see their lordships, Shishirada Landanishara. Entering the building in a palanquin, Prabhupada came before Radha London Ishara and slowly removed his sunglasses, his eyes flooding with tears. But around him, devotees chanted his name and the names of Radha and Krishna. So that was the first big deities, Radha Krishna, that Prabhupada got, that somebody wanted to donate them. But then at the last minute, they weren't so sure, but Prabhupada sort of kidnapped them. He just said to Tumal and Gurudas, see how heavy Krishna is. And Tumal said, oh, not so heavy. It was really heavy, but he picked him up, and then he told, I can't remember the other person, maybe Gurudas, see how heavy is Radharani. He picked him up, and they took them to the van. He said, drive. And then they stopped, and he started, Govinda Mari Purushanta. So he said, this is not a deity. Krishna has come personally to be with you. Krishna has come personally. Krishna has tricked those people and he has come to be with you personally. So, in Bury Place, so he remembered that. And on the way back to the manor, Tamal Krishna recited to Srila Prabhupada the many pastimes of Prabhupada's preaching days in London. The next day was Vyasa Puja, Srila Prabhupada's 82nd birthday. Again, upon waking, he recalled his childhood and how an uncle had called him Nandala because he was born on the day Nanda Maharaj gave presents to the Brahmanas, the day after Krishna's birthday. Srila Prabhupada went down to the temple and after a fully exulting kirtan by hundreds of devotees, he accepted, without tasting, a 3-tier, 5-foot-long birthday cake. He noticed that the devotees had only used 81 candles due to counting age by the Western method, so another candle was added. So here he's dying, but he noticed how many candles. At Srila Prabhupada's request, Tamal Krishna stood and spoke. And I was just remembering New Vrindavan, 1972. I heard that they made a big cake for Prabhupada also. But then somehow Prabhupada didn't get a piece. All the devotees dove into it and there wasn't anything left for Prabhupada. Anyway, yes, the devotees were a bit wild in the old days. Now we have more, I think, rules and regulations. We did in the old days, it was like wild. We were very spontaneous. The next day, Srila Prabhupada, his health suddenly became much worse, and he couldn't come down to the temple. This was the first crisis since his coming to England. Suddenly, his plans changed. Instead of going on to the United States, as he had planned, he now requested that he be taken back to India. He spoke of Bombay. If I live a few more days, let me see the opening of Bombay Temple. We can wait here and then fly to Bombay. I have worked so hard for it. If I see the opening and then die, it will be a very peaceful death. Even if I live, I can come back here. So This is how Prabhupada celebrated. Sometimes he was very, very sick, but that didn't stop him from speaking and doing his service. So on this day, let us pray to Prabhupada to always remember Krishna and try to keep Krishna in our heart and our mind and keep Srila Prabhupada in our heart. Because if we keep Srila Prabhupada, then we'll have the holy Dham. Because the Dham is revealed in the heart of the pure devotee. So I will stop here. If you have any questions or comments, you can ask at this point, or if you have any more to say about Prabhupada and Janamashtami, if anyone was with Srila Prabhupada, then yes. The translation of verse 16 again. Okay. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul of all living entities, and who vanquishes all fear of his devotees, enter the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence. Very significant that he's super soul, and he's also the Dham. He's the Dham. And he vanquishes all fear, because Vasudeva and Devaki were very fearful. They were really consumed with fear. And after Krishna came out, they were more fearful. How are we going to hide you with four hands? You know, this is very difficult. So Devaki said, please be normal. We have two hands only. And then it will be easier. He said, then he instructed, take me to Gokul. Yes, so first he came in the mind of Vasudeva, then he came in the mind of Devaki, and then he stayed for a while within her womb. But she and Vasudeva and Devaki became a Dham because they held Krishna in them, within themselves. So Prabhupada was a Dham also. Prabhupada had Krishna. Otherwise, how could he manifest the Dham all over the world? Because he knew the Dham. The artists would ask him questions, and he would tell them what everybody looked like up there, because he knew. What does Krishna look like? What does Yashoda look like? And he knew. He was from there. He came from the spiritual world. Anybody else have any question or comment? Yes, Ramishwar. Do we have a microphone for him? Okay. In Tokyo, Janamashtami 1970. Krishna book came out, so I'll repeat it so everybody. Krishna book came out 2 months before. None of the devotees had read it.
It was their first time ever reading Krishna book, 1970.
With Srila Prabhupada. Wow. Yes. So that was the first time that Krishna revealed that Krishna dictates to Prabhupada when he writes in the morning, and it's Prabhupada said, it's not my writing, it's Krishna's writing. And so this was the first time he revealed that. I also remember I got Krishna book. I was in Boston in 1970, and I got it also. We were so happy to get Krishna book. Very, very attached to the pastimes of Krishna. Thank you for that. So Tokyo was the first time that the devotees had read Krishna book. You have your hand up?
I also mentioned that next Saturday at the palace we have a westernized version of the holy festival called Festival of Color. But today I'd like to acknowledge all of our pujaris who gave us the original Festival of Colors in the way that they're decorated in the Lord.
Oh, okay. Festival of Colors. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
You were talking earlier about Krishna's everywhere, but in a temple you can see Krishna giving you love. Someone may say, well, what if I was to worship the sky or the ground or whatever? What would be the difference between that worship and worship of Krishna?
Yeah, what would be the difference between worship of the sky and worship of Krishna? Because with Krishna you can have a relationship. You can have love, you can have feelings, you can dress him and he reciprocates with you. With the sky, what can you do? You know, how are you going to love the sky?
What kind of relationship can you have with this guy? Have you ever tried? Anyone tried to have a relationship with the sky, with the land, with the... I mean, we used to try when we were hippies, you know. We thought it was kind of cool, you know, the tree, you know, space, merge into the space. But it's not much fun when you merge into the space because nobody else is there except you. It's not a place to have fun, really. Just imagine going up. Okay, you want a relationship with the sky, just go up in the sky and have it, you know. How long are you going to stay up there having your relationship with the sky? It's going to be pretty boring.
Well, you may say, I'm worshiping Krishna's energy, and Krishna's energy and Krishna himself are not different than maybe indirect, but still worship.
Yeah, indirect. That's okay. That's very nice. That's a beginning, first step. And that's, if you read Canto 2, the first step in God realization is to see Krishna everywhere like that and worship him. It's for the impersonalists. So they get an idea of form. That's good. That's a first step. If you can't come to the temple, then by all means, you can see Krishna in the sky. Then that's okay. I am the taste of water. But in the temple, it's a step up. Actually, Super Soul was the next chapter, chapter 2. You worship the Lord in the heart. And the third chapter is about devotional service. So this is the highest because it's with a person. And Prabhupada often gives the example of the sun planet, the Lord of the sun, and the sun effulgence. The effulgence is there, but what meaning? Then if you go further, you can penetrate the effulgence and you can see the planet. You can see the planet of the sun, and further you see who's living there in the sun god. So we want to go to the intelligent person. If he sees the light, he'll say, where's the light coming from? Where is the sky coming from? Where is this earth coming from? I want to see who made it. I would like to meet the creator. And that's what they told me before I became a devotee. I asked, what's your process and what can I hope to achieve? They said, if you follow this chanting and dancing and eating, you will see God face to face. I said, yes, I want to see. Of course, we see every day, but Prabhupada said in a lecture, you'll be just like we're talking to each other. That's how we'll be talking with Krishna. Yes. Yes, Ramesh. Everybody hear that?
No.
Okay, so I'll repeat it, that the only original tapes of Prabhupada speaking were Krishna book first volume, because the artists, they wanted to hear, because they didn't know the story, so they want to draw the pictures, they wanted to hear Prabhupada speaking. So Jadarani in Boston, she made a copy of all these tapes for the first volume of Krishna book. And so therefore we still have copies of these tapes. You can get them from BBT. Now Srila Prabhupada speaking, dictating Krishna book, the first volume. You can hear him dictating Krishna book. These are the only ones. Otherwise they would just He would dictate, they would transcribe, and then they would send the tapes back. Though everything was lost, all those dictation tapes. So we do have only this one left of Srila Prabhupada. Yes. Okay, anybody else have a comment or a question about this? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.